This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For the next hour, hear how 13-year NFL vet thinks.
You can't just do it one play. No. You got to reset. You got to do it over and over and over again. Yeah. Yeah. Come out here with a win. Let's do it.
This is Brown safety Rodney McLeod.
Welcome into the Smart Choice Windows and More Studios, and Rodney McLeod joins us.
Good morning. Good morning.
Morning.
Morning. Grand rising.
It's been quite a 48 hours. It's good to see you.
And great to see you guys.
First thing we were like, did Rodney score a touchdown today? We have something exciting to kick off with Rodney. I'm like, oh, they didn't give him the ball. They need to give you the ball.
Yeah.
I think I need to score one more touchdown before I can go to Kev and ask for an offensive rep.
Do the Deion Sanders?
I don't even know if I need the ball. I just want to line up on the other side, go back to the glory days. At DeMatha Catholic High School, maybe get a fake jet sweep, end around something, just be a little decoy if I even have that respect.
Well, I saw you mentioned that defensive guys on offense. I saw Big Hit Win lined up in a wing.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, he's going to come down the mountain. Here he goes. And they ran it to that side. And of course, we had a penalty.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Do you know your high school stats?
I don't know my high school stats.
You don't know the touchdowns?
Mm-mm. I don't. I know my general league stats when it comes to interceptions. I think outside of that, I don't know my tackle count. I don't know my forced fumble. I know I have over 10 forced fumbles, but I don't know the count or the game count either.
I'll be dipped.
Somebody asked me that recently. I'm like, nah. Huh. I don't know my game count.
Well, if you didn't go to DeMatha, like there's a lot of places where like – I remember we had J.C. Treader, and J.C. Treader was a quarterback in high school. Because most places, the best athlete plays quarterback.
Yeah.
But a place like DeMatha, where they actually know what they're doing,
yeah.
It's like, nah, Rodney's better in the secondary or running back or whatever, and you're going to be that guy because you have guys who can play quarterback and wide out and things of that nature.
Correct. Yeah. That is absolutely true. Like, we have, like, college linemen, 6'4", you know what I'm saying, like, in the trenches versus you play another team – and their D tackles are, 185 and like barely 5'10".
So we got to address the elephant in the room. Sunday, Deshaun Watson goes down. Mm-hmm. There were several comments by players. I feel differently. We'll speak about that in a moment. Been 48 hours. What were your thoughts during the entire scenario that played out with Deshaun getting hurt?
Yeah. Excuse me for, being maybe a little long-winded, but, this is the first time I think I've had the opportunity to, speak out on what happened on Sunday. So, I think when, there's always been a struggle when it comes to fans and media and being able to see, like, the humanistic side of us as athletes. As a professional athlete, yes, like we are highly talented and gifted men and women that are capable of doing what majority of the world is incapable of doing. That is a fact. And because of this, we get paid a significant amount of money. And it is our job, right? Now, the job itself comes with a lot of pressure. It is very competitive. and very intense, right? Like, you feel the pressure the minute that you walk into a building, you step on a court, you step on the field, you put on a helmet, the pressure to perform. Like, all of those feelings are valid and are true. And I feel as though many feel that a player should be numb to whatever negative commentary, whatever is given to a player because of the jersey or the mask. And for us as athletes, we get put in this box, right? Like, whether it's in politics where they just tell you, shut up, dribble, just play ball. Whether it's public criticism where, you know, they're mentally tough, they're physically tough, I can say what I want and they can take it. To just, what does it mean to be a professional athlete? You got to walk a straight line. You have to be perfect. You have to take the higher road. And as us as athletes, we say, man, we're just human beings. And we want to be treated as such. And there is no perfect man or woman. The only perfect person I know to walk this earth is Jesus Christ. That's it. And what people have to realize is, when you are in the stands and you're in those seats and you yell and you say hurtful comments and you leave hurtful things underneath social media posts, to direct messages, those things are very damaging to a human. The mental psyche that comes into play. We're talking about a depressive state. We're talking about an unbelievable amount maybe of self-doubt that is now created. Like, you're a part of that. And so now when we go to what happened on Sunday, you have the piece that we all love about sports is the fan aspect. We love fans that are loyal, passionate, high energy. Like, that is what I stand for. We all are fans ourselves of a player, of another sporting league. Like, I am a player. I mean, I am a fan, right, of, you know, a LeBron James, of all these different sporting leagues. But there's a line that I never cross. And that's when it comes to the health and safety of a player. Like, I never cross that line because I understand that this is their livelihood. This is how they provide for their family. And at the end of the day, we're talking about their career or livelihood now at jeopardy. And then you, even more so, when you bring out a cart, there's only two things that come to mind. This injury is severe enough where it's season ending, or they're at a point where they may not be able to move. Those are the two. When you see the cart, that, like, that's an instant, like, buzzer in my head. Oh my God, like, this is serious. Like, this is no joking. Like, this is serious. And this is now not a time to applaud, to cheer. It's a time to sympathize. It's a time to uplift. It's a time to encourage, to say a prayer, whatever it might be, but never to respond in the way that was done on Sunday. And quite frankly, we all observed just a few years ago, somebody lay breathless on the field, Damar Hamlin. And I question everybody that was a part of that on Sunday. You know, if that was Deshaun, like, would you have the audacity to cheer? I think not. And all I'm saying is, I know every person, they're better than that. Deshaun deserved better than that. And every player going forward ultimately deserves better than that. Because we all demand just respect, just to have the dignity of the human being that lays there, right, helpless. And so that's really my piece. And again, I just want people to check themselves and realize that at the end of it all, we bleed the same way that you do. We hurt the same way that you do. We struggle the same way that you do. And we feel pain the same way that everyone else does.
Rodney McLeod in studio giving us his perspective. So take us all through what it was like from, you know, the moment you saw him go down to what you're experiencing as a team. You know, obviously you're going into what you were hearing from the stands, but were guys stepping up? Were, you know, we heard Jameis afterwards. He's somebody that you can see that is demonstrative on the sidelines and getting guys collected. And how did the next, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 hours go for you guys as a team as you see your starting quarterback who worked so hard to get back on the field from an injury last year and just figuring out what's the rest of the season all about?
Yeah, I feel like an illustration I want to be put out there is that final moment where it was pretty much the entire team. And we're not talking just players, but coaches out there surrounding Deshaun Watson. Like, where is that image for the world to see? Like, how much we all supported Deshaun, where maybe everyone outside the wall saw somebody completely different. And what we saw was a quarterback that showed up every single day, regardless of the circumstances, and fought for his team. And honestly, in that game, I mean, playing good ball. I mean, 16 for 18, I saw a stat up on the screen. I didn't even know. I feel like that's – I feel like I'm accurate, but I didn't even realize, you know what I'm saying, just how well, like, he was playing. But to see him go down in that moment, yeah, like, we wanted to rally behind him to let him know we have your back, bruh. And going – and you felt that right in that moment from every player on that sideline that touched that field to – the locker room, you know, the interviews and the amount of people that have just spoken highly of him and expressed their frustration of the reaction that was given because of that. And now, yes, we now have to move forward without Deshaun and see who will step into that fold. You know, we saw a glimpse of DTR on Sunday that, you know, brought a spark, you know, instantly to the offense. He went out, and then you saw Deshaun. I mean, you saw, you know, Jameis now come in and finish things off. And, you know, a guy, again, that has great command of the offense, you know, high football IQ, has experience in his league, and, you know, is a leader, as we all have observed in his short time here. So, you know, I think we will be in good hands with whomever is the quarterback going forward, you know, for the Cleveland Browns.
Ronnie McLeod joining us in the Smart Choice Windows and More Studios. What is the faith level in Jameis to be able to get this thing going in the right direction here? You're 1-6. It seems that he would probably be the starter considering DTR's injury. Now, I know that you probably don't know these things or can confirm or disconfirm anything. I mean, you guys signed Bailey Zappe off the practice squad. Mm-hmm. So from that level, you know, where is Jameis? He's a 10-year vet.
Mm-hmm.
He is more of a pocket passer, so the offense is bound to change a little bit here. Where is that level of being able to support him and have him support you guys as you guys get ready to take on one of the best teams in the league?
Yeah, like I said a few seconds ago, we have all of the support, you know, in Jameis and belief in Jameis because he prepares like a starter every single week. You know, I have the luxury of being one of his locker mates, and I see he's in the building before me. Right, I think he may have that crown this year of being the first in the building, and is normally one of the last to leave. He's always doing something. Like, I have to ask him, like, but by now I kind of know his routine. You know, you get into, okay, like, this is your day to do this, do that. But he's always doing something that is a contribution to his craft. He's always focusing on how do I stay prepared? How do I make sure that I'm ready for when my number is called and I'm willing to just serve and do whatever it takes, you know, for this team to win? And I'm, you know, if Five gets that call, I can't wait to see, you know, what he can do, you know, come Sunday, because I know, again, he's going to do everything in his body to make sure that he wills his team to a victory.
So you're a player, and Lyme and I have to walk a fine line here, because there has definitely been, we've been connected to the Browns for 12 years, over 12 years. There have been players that I would consider more than just player media relationship over that time. There's been several that we've got along with over time. There's been a couple we haven't, and I'm as easy to read. Lima is a little bit more guarded than I am. You can always tell when I like a guy because I'm very hesitant to start ripping him on the air. I'm very hesitant. Like there's just guys that I like, and it's very difficult for me to say certain things about them. Then there's guys where you can tell flat out I don't think very much of them, and they're not very nice. And it's a league of 53 guys in a locker room plus the practice squad. You're going to have a lot of different people involved. I'm also very defensive of Browns fans. Very defensive of the fan base. And I was in the stadium on Sunday. And I, on my children, which Lima rolls his eyes because that's the only way I know how to get people to try to believe me on these things. I'm in the stadium on Sunday, and we're just going, holy bleep, I cannot believe this just happened.
Yeah.
Because he puts the ball on the ground for a second, and people thought, like, where I was sitting, there was a turnover. And then I go, no, look at the monitor. And you looked up at the monitor, and we saw what we saw, and I go, that's got to be an Achilles. Oh, my God, he's really hurt himself again. I cannot believe he's hurt himself again.
Yeah.
And then I think the mood of the section changed. Now, there was one guy, and I know it was more than one guy out of 66,000 people, right? Okay?
Yeah.
So let's not, I know this is an emotional time, but let me explain myself here. There was one guy 10 rows ahead of us. He's whooping it up. He's clapping it up. He's looking up and he's yelling in certain directions at certain people, saying to get his ass out of here. Move on. He's thanking God and all this. And there's people telling him to shut his mouth once they saw on the Jumbotrons just how bad this injury was.
Yeah.
When the cart takes him off, I've been in before. I felt it was, for the most part, a normal reaction. So now I find myself going, I know a lot of you guys. I know a lot more Browns fans. Okay. I want to say, and I do believe, 99% of the fans do not feel the way that 1%, who I will not condone. Now, I know how they acted. 99% of Browns fans did not feel the way that these people felt. You get 66,000 people in a stadium, there's going to be a few goofballs. I know that. And I feel that there's some Browns fans who feel, wait a minute, I don't condone this, and now I'm being talked down to by these Browns players, where I just want to see good football. I want my football team to win. And now I'm being talked down to as a fan when I didn't have anything to do with that. I didn't clap for him to be hurt. I didn't want him to be hurt. I might have thought he was a good quarterback. Might not have wanted him to be here very long. Might be looking forward to the draft already. But I wasn't going to participate in that. I wasn't going to throw dirt on my own name. So now we have a wall here. And so, like, I'll be honest with you. Greg Newsom, he talked tough. And I know for a fact, and you know this too, he gets beat over the top on Sunday. You know the first calls I'm going to get on Monday morning. You know that. And that creates that wall between fans and players. So that's the spot that the fans are left in. Because I think that 99% of the fans, I'm sure I'll open up my social media and there's going to be people telling me I'm full of bleep. That's fine. I know what I saw. I know what I was in the stadium for. I don't want to use the term overreaction because I'm sure you guys in an emotional moment turned around and saw a couple of idiots, more than a couple of idiots, a gaggle of idiots whooping it up. I'd be mad too. I'm on record for that. But as things are right now, I don't want to.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Turn this players versus fans because ain't no one gonna win. Because Rodney, I can't lie to you, man. Like, it ain't started off well, and I hope it goes better, but I don't see when it is gonna go much better. And boy,
I need to have
a good relationship, and that didn't go very well after that game on Sunday. I mean, to the point, and we will specify in this studio, not a single one person in this studio thought this. I mean, you got people in the media who are wondering whether or not you guys got together and decided you guys were going to talk about this, and that somehow that would be a distraction from the play.
Mm. No, those were just real reactions from players, and I think in the moment. When it all occurred, it was a shock to a lot of players on the sideline because, you know, to your point, yeah, we know that everybody didn't participate. Like, I know my family didn't participate, right? Like, I know you didn't participate.
Hell no.
But from the sounds of it, it seemed like it was a majority of whoever was present for that game. And we're not speaking about all Brown fans because you saw LeBron James, who we know is Cleveland Browns, you know, dog pound fan, give a reaction himself over Twitter, right? So what I'm saying is the people who are doing right continue to do right, continue to speak out, to call out those individuals that, yeah, like, are spoiling it, are the people that we're challenging, that we're talking about. We're not, all we can do is, right now, all we can do is group everyone together. We don't have the ability to point out seat number 4, section 132. We don't have that ability. We're just saying, from our observation as a player, what we heard on Sunday, we can't stand for. And honestly, we expect more of from our fans that, man, we show up, we try to show up as our best self every single time we put on the jersey and helmet for not only us as a team, but for this city.
But what,
like, we want to win just as much as the fans, because again, this is what we love to do. Like, I don't prepare as hard as I do. I don't work as hard as I do to get a loss on a Sunday. I don't do it. I don't want it. It's not a good feeling. And so we're all on the same page. But where we have to stick together, because I do, there is beauty when players and fans are all, man, it's meshing. It's just love. Mm-hmm. There's beauty in that. And I want to keep it there. But we have to make sure that we address what also happened.
But you know that there is a lot of baggage that we carry as fans. Like, I'll tell you, 2 years ago, I brought this situation up a couple hours ago. I mean, we had a defensive end, cause a row in a locker room after a loss. They left him on the roster for 2 more months. And then afterwards, he decided to sing like a bird until he got cut from the football team and then go around and blaming the people who let the story out, even though he wanted the story out. We have a situation here where over this time, we had a quarterback go out and try to tackle somebody, ruin his shoulder, and change the course of history for our favorite football team for a long time. And so there's a lot of people who've been through, and these are two examples. I mean, I can go down. The Johnny stuff would take you till week 10 on this show.
Mm-hmm.
So you have that that plays into this with a lot of fans. And there's so many people who are from all over the place. He goes, man, I'm not rooting for this guy to get hurt. I ain't rooting for him to get hurt. But it feels like, wait a minute, you're coming after me. It, like, it's a very personal thing. Because, Rodney, no offense to you, I know it's your last year in the NFL. I'd love you to stay here, but you have the opportunity to go back to Philly or wherever you live. Okay, me, Kenny Carmen, I ain't going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And if my name was Bob Long and I lived in Streetsboro, Ohio, and I was a big Browns fan, Bob ain't going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Bob's been here for 40 years, and he'll be here another 40, God willing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, for a fan, who are they to tell me how to react? Even though I wouldn't react like that, how am I to be admonished for behavior I wouldn't condone and I wouldn't do, and here I am watching this product, which isn't very good, and I have to deal with this? That's tough. It's like, what can we do together to get back on the same page? Is it just time?
It's just time, and it's only everything is action based. And right now, what we all have to live with, the identity of the Cleveland Browns right now as a team, is that, yeah, we're 1-6. We just lost our starting quarterback. You know, they're not, their season isn't going anywhere, right? Like, let's plan for that. That is our identity right now that we're trying to change. Mm-hmm. And the identity of the Cleveland fans right now, Cleveland Browns fans, is that they booed their starting quarterback, Deshaun Watson, when he laid down on the ground injured. And that's what as the fans have to get off their radar, right? Like, you now have to stand up and say what you're doing. That is not the right representation of us, right? And as a team, we're trying to look, we got to fix things because we don't like that narrative either that exists.
Okay. Because, I said it myself, Ronnie McLeod in studio here. Like, there were, like, our buddy Danny Parkins over at FS1. He's like, well, you know, what he's been accused of, we can't sit there and turn him. And I go, whoa, hold on. I don't think two wrongs make a right.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I don't know what he did, and I can't accuse what he did or didn't do.
Right.
And I haven't, and I won't. And there's definitely a comfort and a discomfort to it, but I don't think that that's necessarily, there's no necessary about, that's not the right way to react. But for 99% of fans, they just don't want to feel that way. They don't want to feel like all of a sudden they're the bad person here, or they are a bad person. Not that there's the bad person in this, but there's a bad person in this. They don't want to feel that way. And it bothers them. It bothers me as a fan. It's going, here is just another wedge between these stories that we hear where it's like, all right, Doug Deacon lives in the same neighborhood as all these guys who are Browns fans who go to the game, and now there's just this other wedge. Maybe it is just money. Maybe it is just resources. Maybe it is just the life.
Ronnie, these fans, they don't see athletes. I think this is fair to say. They just don't see athletes as normal human beings. And you are asking for the fans to see you as a normal human being. And you're in here with us as a normal human being. And during the breaks, we talk about father stuff. We talk about just general getting through the day, getting through the work week stuff.
Yeah.
Those fans that were booing or cheering or whatever they were doing for Deshaun Watson, they think he represents all that they don't believe in. They didn't want him to begin with. I'm sure those fans, they never wanted to trade Baker Mayfield to begin with. And so I wonder if this is in between fans and players in 2024, especially with players making more money and more money and more money now than ever before, if the players are just not ever going to be relatable on that level, and therefore they're never going to see you the way you want them to, and maybe you're never going to see them the way that they would want to be seen.
And Rodney, they also have the guard up, because we are in a city where every time something bad happens, it's a threat. These players are going to leave you. No one's going to want to sign here. Everybody, you guys are mean, and no one likes you, and no one's ever going to want to be here. And the greatest player who ever played the game of basketball even left you once, and then he left you again. And it was only based on his own humanity that he came back to you. That's a lot to take in for a fan base. So their guard is already up. So they do. They pick and choose. They love Miles. They love Nick. You heard the reaction. They love Nick Chubb.
Mm-hmm.
They will go out in the road for Nick Chubb right now.
And there'd be no cheering a Nick Chubb injury.
But it is a very select group because of the history, because of the market that we're in. It's a very select group that they open up for. And that's what makes it difficult. Because, Ronnie, we've been through this before. bottles and Tim Couch and all the other stuff. Hate to say it, buddy, it ain't our first rodeo when it comes to this. Go ahead.
I just feel, you know, personally, there shouldn't be any sort of rhyme or reason for you to, again, still react in that way. And I get it. The players and fans rarely get a chance to interact. Like, we understand that. That's a part of all sports. But like you just said, and like I'm trying to point out, that we're all very, like, relatable individuals. Like, you see it. You see glimpses of it. Like, and so for me, like I said, the things that everybody else deals with, yes, we deal with the same things. Like, it doesn't, because we play a professional sport, because we make a lot of money, does not make us exempt from anything that happens to us. And that's all I'm trying to paint. That is the purpose of what I'm trying to illustrate here today, and to make people realize and recognize there are always choices that are made by every single organization that we don't have control over, neither a fan, neither me as a player. I control what I can control. And what people can control is their reaction, right? Let's respond rather than react. Let's think about what I'm doing, what type of emotion is that going to create now for that human being? And that's all I'm asking, just for grace, you know, like, and that's not too much to ask. That's not too much to ask in my opinion. And like I said, I am a person that, again, I love fans. I love what they bring to the game, what most represent with this Cleveland Browns and what I have witnessed since I've gotten here last year. But I know what took place on Sunday. That's not the representation that we want to exist. I don't want that. I don't want that for anybody. But what we got to do is we got to stand up for what is right. And you got to speak out on it.
Mitch, please.
All right, guys, this audio comes to us from WKYC, a report from Lydia Sparra this morning regarding the Browns' plan of moving to Brook Park, and Cleveland council members voicing their opposition. At a meeting Monday night, Councilman Brian Casey made it clear if the Browns want a better park, a better team must follow.
Nobody should have the right to come into Cleveland. I don't care if it's the Cleveland Browns, Sherwin-Williams, the Cleveland Clinic, or any other organization that we support that could just be able to turn around and walk away. But if the Haslam Sports Group wants to provide a fan experience, put a damn winning team on the field.
All right, it's a little over the top, don't you think, Councilman?
We have city councilmen going on.
Rodney, yeah. If you want to jump in, you go right on ahead, but Lyman and I can...
Nah, I'll let y'all... I just worry about trying to get
again,
us back
why
to
does
be
he,
becoming a winning team
as Owen
on
said,
Sunday.
Why That's does it. He want to have a loser stays in town match? What are we doing here? What is that?
So you could just tell, though.
That doesn't make sense.
From some fan reaction from Sunday, from politicians... Like, this is starting to feel like a volatile Browns season. And we've had many of them here, Rodney. We've had many of them before you. We'll have, hopefully not, but many none. After you.
Hopefully none. You're the last stand, I hope. Sorry, you're the one who has to bear the brunt.
I was asking Rodney off the air if it looked like Joe Burrow was just kind of feeling a lack of confidence going up against the defense, because he looks like a different guy every time he goes up against you. And Adam Archuleta on the broadcast was talking about how Schwartz was doing a great job of showing Joe Burrow things that maybe he hadn't seen on tape. Was that accurate?
Yeah, I think we did. We focused on just, you know, switching up our looks a lot, you know, and then playing a variation of coverages kind of behind to be able to slow them down, but also kind of get them out of rhythm And we knew kind of, you know, Joe Burrow's style of play. Like, he's playing at a high level, but it was very evident to us that, hey, first, second down, you know, he's trying to get the ball out quick. You know, he's going to make quick reads. He wants to be a quick decision. And so for us, how do we slow him down? Don't create clean pitchers for him. And I think that's what we did a good job at. And credit to our D-line. You know, those guys showed up big for us, not only in the run game because of some of the coverages that we had to do. It put the stress on them, but also passing, just making it uncomfortable for them. So definitely wanted to, you know, give my flowers to the guys, the big men up front this week.
I love to know what actually happens or what's actually said on the field. We know there's a war of words at times between the Browns secondary over the last few years and Cincinnati and their wide receivers. Ja'Marr Chase catches that touchdown against Greg Newsome, and then he steps over him. And we know, I mean, there was a famous instance of that with LeBron and Draymond, and this is an act of disrespect, as we know. I mean, short of spitting on somebody who we saw in the Oregon-Ohio State game last week. I mean, that is kind of as bad as it gets. Is that something that fired you guys up a little bit? Greg went over to the official immediately.
Yeah, I think we realize, you know, the history that has existed over the years between their wide receiver group and our secondary. And there's been blows, you know, on both sides. You know, there's been wins on both fronts. So, you know, you just have two highly competitive rooms going at it. And yeah, like, they make a play, yeah, go ahead, celebrate. You know, we make a play, we're going to do the same thing. So,
is any of it in fun? Is any of it in fun, or is there no fun to be had between these two sides?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's all in fun. I mean, there's lines that, again, you don't cross, and, you know, I don't think it ever got to that point on Sunday. You know, you just saw, again, highly competitive guys going at it, and then doing what they need to do afterwards to let you know about it.
You going to the Cavs game Friday, maybe?
I'm possibly going. I might be in the building. You know, one of my wife's high school friends works for the Cavs, and another friend is coming in town. So there might be a little reunion there. Come out for the first game, show some love.
Did you go to games last year?
I did. I caught two.
They put together a hell of a show over there. They do a good job.
Yeah. Hoping to catch a little more than two this year.
Hopefully they win.
You guys in the building?
Friday, yeah. I got high school football stuff. And Lyman's not allowed out of the house.
I'm not allowed out of the house.
He's on house arrest.
Dang. We couldn't all come together?
Have a moment.
You know what I'm saying? Outside of these walls.
Friend.
Wait, you're going to be here, right? You're not getting traded or anything, right? You're going to be here.
Jesus. Hey.
Man, you know something?
Hey,
y'all get the scoop before me, so.
Reckless speculation.
You must know something.
What's it with you and telling players when they come in here that you want them traded?
I'm just making sure.
He said it to Joe. Once he said it to Joe, he thinks he can say it to anybody.
Joe Thomas.
Yeah. I do plan to still be Friday.
Okay. For Big Country, Cavs start tomorrow. Of course, they're up in the Great White North. For Big Country, for Jeff, for Mitch, for Rodney, for the Slippery Wizard, Anthony Lima, I'm Ken Carmen. Have a wonderful day, friends.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
What?
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.